Joseph, a Levite born in Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, that is, son of encouragement. Joseph sold a field he owned, brought the money, and turned it over to the apostles. Acts 4:36 and following. This is the first mention we have of Barnabas. It is a dangerous thing to assign a professor of history a text on a saint's day. The sermon may simply degenerate into a lecture on the person, complete with all the names, dates, events, and pertinent facts surrounding that person's life. In fact, I am almost tempted to believe that this assignment was intentional on the part of the dean of the chapel. However, rather than denying my proclivities in this regard, I have decided to embrace them. And so I will indulge my historian's perspective and share with you some of the points about Barnabas the Apostle. Though I do so, hopefully, in order to make an ultimate point, a simple yet important point, that Barnabas is a model of the pastoral office, a model of what you, as future pastors in Christ Church, will do as servants of Christ. Barnabas, a Jew of the tribe of Levi, was born on the island of Cyprus. And Acts 4:36 goes on to tell us that this occurred sometime around the beginning of the Christian era. He was therefore, like Paul, a Jew of the diaspora, a Jew who had been dispersed, didn't live in Jerusalem, was not close at hand to the temple. He was apparently a man of some means. After all, he was able to sell a significant piece of property and give the proceeds from that sale to the young church at Jerusalem. His name was originally Joseph, but was changed by the apostles to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas is mentioned repeatedly in the Acts of the Apostles and in several places in Paul's epistles. Although he was not one of the original 12, he, like Paul, is called an apostle. Acts lists Barnabas among the early believers in Jerusalem, and he is traditionally regarded as one of the 70 disciples commissioned and sent out by Jesus in Luke chapter 10. In fact, his day is observed in the Orthodox Church of the East in such a fashion. It was Barnabas, though, at Jerusalem, who was convinced of the genuine character of Paul's conversion, and who vouched for Paul to the community at Jerusalem. So reading from Acts chapter 9, we hear, "And when he had come to Jerusalem, he, Paul, was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Barnabas took hold of him, brought him to the apostles, and described to them how Paul had seen the Lord on the road, and that Jesus had talked to him, and how at Damascus Paul had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus." There is the son of encouragement at work, testifying to the genuine character of Paul's conversion. And the church listened to Barnabas's testimony, accepting Paul. Somewhat later, the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch to preach among the young church there as well. But after the church in Antioch had reached a somewhat more flourishing state, Barnabas was sent out with Paul, the two apostles sent on their missionary journey and tasks, taking young John Mark with them. Reading from Acts 13:2, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them." They preached the gospel in Cyprus and Pamphylia, where Mark left them. They continued on to the cities of Asia Minor, preaching to Jews and Gentiles alike, but drawing significant responses, as you all know, from the Gentiles. Upon their return, Paul and Barnabas were pressed by the church in Jerusalem to explain the events that were surrounding their work, namely the fact that so many Gentiles were hearing the gospel. The Judaizers pressed the question, saying, shouldn't they become Jews first, keeping the law, keeping the commands? Barnabas and Paul reminded them that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but that all have sinned and fallen short of God's demands, and that all are also freely justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, not by works of the law. In the disagreement over the responsibilities of Jewish and Gentile Christians, then, Barnabas tended to side with his fellow worker Paul, although on one occasion he apparently followed Peter and abstained from eating with Gentiles. Somewhat later, Barnabas and Paul disagreed on whether to take John Mark with them again, and the two finally split up. Barnabas took John Mark with him to Cyprus, and Paul moved on with Silas. At that point, nothing further is solidly known about the life of Barnabas, though in 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul does commend Barnabas as a working apostle. Legend has it, though, that Barnabas was stoned to death in the city of Salamis on Cyprus about the year AD 60. So, what do we do with all this? What can we learn from this? When Barnabas moved from being Joseph to Barnabas, his new name fit well what Christ had called him to do. When Saul, or Paul, came to Jerusalem after his conversion, most of the Christians there wanted nothing to do with him, as we have seen. They were afraid of him. They had known him only as a persecutor and an enemy of the church. But Barnabas encouraged him. He looked him up, spoke with him, and then brought him to meet with the other Christians. He vouched for him, spoke on his behalf. Later, Paul and Barnabas went on a missionary journey together, as we've heard, taking Mark with them. But part of the way through, Mark turned back and went home. When Paul and Barnabas were about to set out on another such journey, Barnabas proposed taking John Mark along. Paul was against it. Interesting that Paul, who had been the persecutor of the church, the one who had been the enemy of Christ, was unwilling to give Mark another chance. Barnabas, on the other hand, wanted to do just that thing, and so he and Mark went off on the journey, while Paul and Silas went off on the other. Apparently, Mark responded well to the trust given him by the Son of Encouragement. And we see later on in Mark, in Paul's letters, specifically 2 Timothy, Colossians 4, and Philemon, that Paul speaks well of John Mark. So the point is this. Joseph, a Jew who lived under the law, heard the good news about Jesus, that Christ would go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise again to take away all of his sins. The Holy Spirit, at work through the preaching of the word, the preaching of Christ, called and gathered Joseph into the church, where he in turn became Barnabas, Son of Encouragement. But Christ wasn't done with them. The Holy Spirit set Barnabas apart to preach this good news about Jesus, and off Barnabas went. By now, hopefully, the point should be clear to you. You are here at the seminary preparing to receive that call from the Holy Spirit. At the completion of your studies, you will hear the Spirit say, set Tim apart, set Kent apart, set David apart, set apart, put in your own name. And you will go forth to be a son of encouragement, to preach the good news about Jesus. As we heard in the gospel lesson read just before, you will be set apart to have authority over the unclean spirits, to speak the word of Christ, to speak the word of absolution, to baptize in his name, and to commune those with the very body and blood of Christ. It may be that the circumstances described by Christ will be your lot. You'll have no bread, no bag, no money in your belt, but through it all, be assured of this. like Barnabas before you, Christ sets you apart specifically to do this, namely be a son of encouragement. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.